This is CliffCentral.com.
Hello, everybody. It's Monday morning, 7 minutes after six. Look who's here. It's Sia.
Yes, he is.
Yes, and Ben.
Yes, I am.
Yes. And Palesa's here and I'm here. And Mabali we can't find. We don't know where she might be hiding in the bathroom, but we'll have to see. Presumably on her way. Sometimes you have traffic and things to deal with. You know how it goes. Only problem is with this show, like if you're 10 minutes late for work in any other job, nobody really notices that you're 10 minutes late. Not really. You know, if your work hours start at 8 or 9 and you arrive at 5 past or 10 past 8 or 10 past 9, nobody goes, oh, you know, that Maria, she's always late. But if you do it in this job, when you start at 6 and everybody knows, yeah, kind of go,
Yeah, but there's different immediacies to people's jobs.
Like, no, sure.
It's like getting to a party at 5 minutes past seven. So, oh, look, 5 minutes past seven, again, yes, at a party. It's a party. It's not like... So imagine if a rugby player was late for work.
No, that would be a problem.
So this is the same thing. Yeah. We have a kickoff time.
You've got match time, right?
We have a match time.
I never thought of myself as an athlete. Look at me now.
I know.
That's incredible. What I'm here for. Broadening horizons.
So I walked in this morning and Sia got a fright. And I thought, because he always jumps when
anyone
walks.
Every day he gets a fright.
I know, but he, you know, he's sitting here at his, and he's talking to Palesa, actually. And I walk into the studio and he goes, no.
In my defense. No,
hold on. I've got to get into the psychology of this. Don't give me your defense yet.
It's a millennial anxiety problem.
No. I don't understand this at all. You know at some point other people are coming.
Yes.
So it's not like you're sitting in your own house and someone bursts through the door and goes, surprise!
Okay.
You know other people are coming into the room. How is it a surprise to you that I come in? And it's not like I walk in quietly on my tiptoes either. I walked in this passage. You could hear a mouse walk along this passage. And you react like Hiroshima has just happened behind you.
I'm scared of the killer.
Same thing happened with Palesa today. I'm walking up the stairs. She's coming out of the ladies. She looked at me like I was a tsunami coming towards a small fishing town.
Well, I heard Palesa saying to you, oh, I didn't expect to see you, Ben. I thought she just meant because you've been at fan court for the last few days. But
whatever it is, Gareth, there are times I will be here at Cliff Central.
No. But
I've been known to frequent this place.
I know, but isn't it bizarre that I mean, Palesa not so much. I haven't seen her because I often go into that room and go, see her, suddenly, just to try and catch him off guard. And sometimes,
and you do.
9 out of 10 times, he freaks out completely. And I just find this... Like, are you, if you're so afraid of being surprised, because clearly it gives you anxiety.
Depends.
If you are, why put your back to a door?
In my defense.
If you're the kind of person who's nervous, have you noticed every place I sit, I look at the door? Not because I'm nervous and anxious, but because then I can see who's coming in, level with them. Greet them and meet them.
But you see, here we have, where I usually sit, we have two doors between that.
Right.
And both doors make a certain sound when they are opened, which
means
I can anticipate.
Well, then how can you always be surprised by me?
These doors were open this morning, so I didn't hear anything. I was just ready to die.
So odd.
Like, handing over my life to the killer. This is it. This is how my life will end on a Monday morning.
How do you make it through the day thinking that there's a killer who's coming? First of all, how special do you think you are? Because you know most people in the whole world mostly get killed, not by just some opportunist killer who comes up the stairs. And you know that, right? You do know that the number of people who die at the hands of a complete stranger is tiny.
I watch too much Crime and Investigation Channel. That's the problem.
So do you think it's one of us that'll kill you eventually?
Sure.
Sorry, see, I've got things to do, but...
There's the stiletto killer.
Gareth and I are far too busy to murder you.
Lovers who kill...
Mabali Malone might murder you, but also she just doesn't care.
But she would do it by accident.
I think Mabali would probably just, like, peel my skin off for her own pleasure. Sure. I don't think she'd kill me.
No. I don't think she's that sick.
Like, I just think you've got to worry about a jilted lover. Us, you don't have to worry about a thing.
No, we're not going to.
None of us are going to
murder you. Thank you for putting my anxiety at ease here.
It is a strange thing. It's just an observation. I'm not trying to make you all self-conscious now, because you get like that when I talk about you. But it just, in future, to help stave off these kinds of surprises that clearly make you uncomfortable and uneasy. Because you actually scream sometimes.
I'll just face the door all the time.
That's
then.
The way to go. It's just the most easy thing to do. If you don't like your desk facing that way and you like working there, then we'll turn it around. I'll help you do it.
I think it's got to do with your diet as well.
Oh, really?
Ben, how?
You're a vegetarian. That's because...
No, it's because if you eat like things of very little substance, so you're constantly very jumpy. Because your body is not at ease with what it is.
And in the food pyramid, you feel like you're always going to be predated upon. You're not a savage man. You're not a savage human being.
I'm like a little...
Yeah, you're a little fawn in the field.
Springbok.
Yeah.
You eat Fruit Loops for breakfast. We can't get away from that.
I actually have not eaten those in 2 weeks. Thank you very much. Okay. I'm adjusting my life now.
My mistake.
See ya!
Stop it! Oh, sorry!
I mean, that's the average reaction. You should see sometimes it's worse and sometimes it's a little bit better.
Oh my god! What the I don't understand why you guys take so much amusement out of scaring someone.
No, I'm not trying to scare. Most times I don't try to scare you.
That's the thing. See, we actually never try. And we're as taken aback as you are, the fact that you are like this. We're like, how?
Wow.
I don't like this anymore.
You know, I'm so fascinated. And I've listened to a lot of podcasts and I've been reading a lot about human evolutionary psychology and kind of where we got to where we are and how women and men think. And there's a huge amount of difference, by the way, in the way that women and men think, and how modern humans are dealing with so much change that we actually have no idea of where our species could be heading. None. We think we know, and we certainly have more information. There's more data and there's more stuff we can crunch together to kind of try and predict an outcome. But there are so many new inputs to human behavior that we don't know yet how our brains and our bodies and our hormones and our senses and our diets and our internal chemistry are dealing with all this stuff. So much difference.
Well, I think like one fundamental problem is that we are losing the ability to problem solve and we don't have the imagination like we used to. Because everything we have nowadays, we consume. We don't know how to do something, we get told. The internet tells us what to do all day, every day. Communications, everything is being fed to us rather than us seeking out and being better with it.
It's interesting you say that that's a bad thing. I almost think that it's a good one. And let's discuss this because it's
good at making us go from A to B. But once the thing goes off track to C, we don't know really what to do.
So how did we do this before?
We had, firstly, more patience, a lot more patience.
And more time.
And the ability to actually not lose your shit completely when something goes awry. Now it's like, oh my gosh, my life is over. I cannot deal. Listen to how many times people say, I can't deal or whatever.
Yeah, but that's just, those are losers. Yeah. No one who ever has things under control in their life says, I cannot deal. First of all, it's not a sentence.
I know it's not a sentence, Gareth, and therefore, you hear
anyone who says that does not know how to construct a proper sentence. They haven't taken the trouble to learn that, let alone solve their problems. They're a loser. They're a loser for life.
But you see this more and more when you travel, go to airports, whatever. You see people who just cannot function past the most basic of instructions.
Okay, but I'm saying I think it's still better because here's the reason. Most people were raised very badly throughout history. Most people only barely made it. And their ancestors made it by being bigger, stronger, faster, and having more sex, and dominating, right? That's how they made it to this point. Otherwise, they wouldn't have. Remember, most men, this is a fact, most men in history were losers who never got the chance to breed. They died on the battlefield. They were crushed under rocks. Horrible things happened to them. The few males who managed to breed produced us. So weak masculinities wiped out evolutionarily. But people have been raised badly by various generations of parents. They've been raised, you know, like other animals are. You kind of get a 50-50 chance most of the time. Mm-hmm. But these days, you can Google the answer to something before you do something dangerous and avoid the danger. You're able to use the tremendous amount of information that we have now to solve problems better and faster. I mean, I know for sure that if I'm faced with a complex situation, I could watch some YouTube videos. You do this too. and become better at it. And before you know it, you're like at a level that you would have had to go to university in previous generations to reach.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, so from
we are talking about curious, resourceful people here.
I think our brains are growing faster, and I think we're dealing with problem solving is one thing that we're becoming better at as humans. Practical problem solving.
I disagree, Gareth. Look at society. I mean, I don't know what your day to day is like, but you see people battling. Like, go to shops, go to traffic, just basic stuff. I feel is getting worse. You look around you, people have less patience because they have less ability to understand things.
I think less patience, yes, but I think more resources, more specialization. Like, this is something that shows you that a civilization is getting better and that a species is developing new tactics and new strategies to deal with everything. And that I don't think is bad by any stretch.
But I guess it's just all tiered, really. Like, everything.
What do you mean?
Well, you get certain tiers in life. You get the people who do really great stuff and have their stuff together, and then you get the ones that are kind of regressing.
No, I don't know if there's that much. I don't think regression. I think a lot of people who fail are accommodated in the system now in ways that enable them to live a much better life than if they'd failed two generations ago. Like, that wouldn't have been tolerated two generations ago. You would have been left outside, and whatever happened to you happened. Mm. I mean, people...
You're a liability.
Yeah, you'd be left the coyotes.
I saw a picture on Instagram that made me think of this. There was a picture of a baby in a cage outside of an apartment building. In order to give babies enough sunlight and fresh air in apartments in the Industrial Revolution, they would build these cages that would hang outside of the window of an apartment building at like the 14th floor or whatever. And the baby would crawl into that and get some sunlight and fresh air.
Just let the baby be?
Well, it was in the cage, so nothing's going to happen to it. But it's in a cage. Can you imagine?
Just hang there for a while.
Just imagine a parent doing that today.
Or a safety balcony, is how you phrase it.
Oh, sure.
Safety balcony. It was the size of the baby plus maybe another half a baby. So it was literally in a cage.
Well, what would you prefer, Gareth? That or Michael Jackson holding blanket over the balcony?
See, no, for sure.
Same thing.
Safety balcony, sure. But isn't that great? Like a kid. I've got to find you this picture. You might have seen it. It's been going around. And I follow this brilliant account called Historical Photographs or something.
Oh, it's a great account.
And they make you realize, like, these things that people used to do to each other and to children. Like, how far we've come. Things are so much better. It's just unbelievable. Mm. So I do believe, like, in contrast to Ben, that our problem solving is maybe improving, but we don't know in what direction it's taking us. And that's why I was saying there's so much going on in the world today. There's so much new information coming out. I mean, you just think about diet, for example. The stuff that they told us 10 years ago, don't even go back that far, 10 years ago,
true,
they were telling us stuff that has completely been turned on its head. And I'm not talking about wacky paleo diets or any of that stuff. And some people don't think that's wacky, and good for them. Do whatever you want. Right, safety balcony. See, it's just a Google image, the picture of a child in a cage. You see? I mean, like, so this weekend I had to pop in and visit the nephews because their mom and dad, my brother and sister-in-law, were away. So they didn't leave them alone at home.
They didn't leave them in a safety balcony?
No, they're 4 and 1, so they had someone there to look after them, but my sister and I decided we'd pop in and have a look and check in on them. And they do their thing, but it's amazing how if you don't watch them every second... They could be out in the garden doing God knows what.
Yeah, they escape.
You have to childproof everything, right, Mubs?
Yeah, well, you don't have to.
Well,
what?
No, there are plenty of children who grew up in homes that have never been baby-proofed ever, and they did just fine. You don't have to do it.
Yeah, we never had plug covers. Did you remember plug covers?
No.
No, of course not, because you didn't have those.
No, but I mean, I suppose it gives parents a peace of mind when they do baby-proof their homes. But trust me, babies have been getting along just fine without this stuff.
I remember literally like 3 years ago staring at a plug cover, and I didn't know what it was because obviously I never came into contact with it. I just thought, how long is this plug being broken for, and who's actually going to fix it around here? It was the strangest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Because it couldn't occur to me that you'd cover a plug. So like, you know.
My house is completely non-baby proofed. I have a pool. There's no fence
no
around.
Cover, yeah. No cover, no.
Nothing.
There's nothing sexy about a fence around a pool.
No, it's terrible, and it makes everything look horrible. I mean, these friends of mine who had a baby
like
recently.
Plastic on the couch.
They put this glass, kind of like a glass wall around their pool. And it looks nice enough.
Mm-hmm.
It must have cost a fortune compared to those ordinary, you know, thin kind of wire fences that most people put up around their pools, yeah. Which look like shit.
Mm-hmm.
But this was their solution, and they obviously spent a lot of money doing it because they wanted it to look nice, and they didn't want to, by baby-proofing the place, make it anti-adult. Because now all the adults have to walk through a little gate. Yeah, it's kind of like we're the ones who are being marshaled around for the kids, so the kid doesn't end up in trouble. And in any case, the kid has learned how to open the gate.
Well.
So what's the point? I had a notice once. Someone told me, no, it wasn't a notice. Someone said to me, you better be careful because the other people are going to say that you need to baby-proof your pool.
So I'm for like, well, their kids?
For
like
their kids.
I'm next like, door, whatever.
Well, why would their kids be in my yard if they drown in my pool because they're wandering around my yard without permission? And how's that my fault?
No. Just don't have them bring their kids over.
Yeah.
You save yourself and right. them. Major headaches yeah. going forward.
And also, if their kids are there, that's trespassing. I don't care how old you are, that's a crime. Jeez. Look, you're right, Gareth. We've actually gone backwards since the safety balconies. Now there's children in your yard.
How dare they? I'm not going to build a safety balcony for them. But go and look up that picture. It's hilarious. Anyway, how was everyone's weekend? Ben was in fan court, so he sounds like he just got back from paradise.
Yeah, it was
when
great.
Did you come back?
I got back Saturday afternoon. I've been like shattered ever since. You know, the whole, I really have.
Son, how?
Do you think you would live a better life if you
lived in George? Yeah.
No, if you were permanently sequestered to Fancourt.
I think. You know, I flew out of George on the weekend. I just thought, yeah, I would live here. I could do it.
What would you do all the time?
Golf stuff. It's like a golfing.
I know.
Metropolis. That place.
Would you not get bored? No. You've got to listen. I don't believe you. I'll tell you why. You're not just about one thing.
I know.
Nobody is. Mabale's not about one thing. Sia's not about one thing. You would be so irritated after 5 years of doing the same thing.
Well, Daniela and I would raise Labradors.
Oh.
Quite simple.
Please.
What? And then we'd have the whole coastline to do things on. There's golf. There's golf tourism. There's golfing people. And then otherwise there's the internet, Gareth, because I don't need to go out to bars and see people I didn't want to see 5 years
That's
ago.
That's not what I'm saying. You don't live in Joburg for the bars.
You're right. I live out here for the golf and the show. So basically, take the show where I probably would move.
Really?
Well, why? Unless
okay, so what would you do there?
What would I do now? I don't need Johannesburg to be Ben Karpinski. I can do golf,
but no one,
social
people
media
here,
content.
Here's the point. People in Joburg would forget you existed.
So what?
But I'm not seeing people in Joburg.
No, but you need business. The whole point of doing business is that you need to have networks of people. Really? You got to do a lot of work if you're in George to keep people aware that you exist. What if they say, well, let's meet next Thursday? Oh, Christ, now you have to buy one of those really expensive plane tickets to Joburg. I think it would kill you.
Bollocks, most meetings can be done on very good emails or Skype.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody says that. I still haven't had one successful Skype meeting. Have you?
Connection everybody, is bad.
Here's where we talk about how progress is an illusion. So how often... And be perfectly honest, we all do different stuff here. Sia's talking to people all the time. Mabali's got another job too. You've got other work that you do. How often, out of every 10 meetings you have, how many of them are Skype or conference call or FaceTime meetings? Be 100% honest.
I don't have a lot of meetings.
For me, it's not even one out of
emails.
Not even one out of 10.
I'm just still waiting for that perfect meeting where everyone sticks to the agenda.
Oh, please.
That's
yeah, but Gareth, that's like saying,
but
well,
Ben, all right,
that's
you
like
say
saying, well, I never speak Spanish until I have to go to Spain.
No, hang on. No, it's not. It's not at all. Sometimes an email can't do what you have to do in a meeting.
Sure, Gareth, I'm not oblivious to the fact that I would still have to come to Joburg from time to time. That's called being an adult.
That flight would break the bank.
That flight I just took now, I think round trip was less than 1.7.
Really? That's the most expensive flight in South Africa. I've heard it's like $3,000 or $4,000 a pop.
I just told you it's 1.7.
It's impossible.
It's like, you just missed that
you must have booked it over the most quiet weekend in history. It's a, I'm
not saying you don't travel on the Easter weekend. Let's schedule a meeting for the long weekend or something.
That's what I heard. Yeah, I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
But the only reason you're not having Skype meetings is because you're all already in Joburg.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you agree that, okay, we'll meet at such and such a place.
All right. Fair enough. So you think it could be done?
We've got to look towards our futures in life and, you know, how these things are going
to
get better.
I'm trying to figure out, like, a solution here. You want, I can tell that you're very sad that you're not still in fan court.
Yeah. I still have some time in Joburg because I still do love the place, and I always have. And I've always said this is the best golfing city in the world. It's one of the best places you can live in the world. But there is something very cool and special about George.
Well, listen.
That's more than just a novelty. Yeah. That's an everyday...
To your point, yesterday's live coverage of the Cape Town Cycle Tour on YouTube was fantastic. Says, Orky, who needs TV anymore? I'm amazed. I didn't even know the cycle tour was yesterday.
Yeah, YouTube does so much. We're all moving to places where things are getting advanced on the internet.
Michelle hung out with Amanda yesterday in Cape Town. I'd like to thank you for introducing me to Amanda. She's such a babe. We got to hang out this weekend in Cape Town. I'm feeling it this morning though. Yeah, that Amanda can drink, man. Wow, she doesn't mess around. The leadership platform today, just a quick public service announcement. They're going to be on with two dynamic executives, and they want you to join the conversation. They're talking leadership, leadership, leadership. That's Adrian Groenewald and his team. Here's a nice one. I'm currently sitting on a train that is taking me from Candy to Ella on my honeymoon. I've got myself a SIM card to stream your show to keep me up to date with the real world. Pretty sure my husband thinks I'm in love with you.
Oh, that's okay.
Mostly because you're always in my pocket. He's not right, but I do love your show. Thanks, guys. Wow, where is Candy and where is Ella? Those sound like people. They don't sound like places. Are you on your way from Candy's house to Ella's house?
That sound like drug binges to me.
They've got a train between their houses? Holy shit.
They sound like a home recipe that's been given a name.
Add some candy to your Ella and then you stir it vigorously. That's a good move. All right, lots to talk about this morning. Plenty of people to get chatting to, including Anthea and Rich, and we've got a guy called Lloyd Cornwall who's popping in. He's the creator and founder of the Delicious Festival. Have you been to this?
My brother does work with them.
Oh,
I hear about it often.
And apparently it's great.
It is.
So we'll find out all about that. I don't know. A damn thing about it myself. So
well, Gareth, there's food and music and all kinds of other festivities.
Right. Let's check in with
spot on his. Yeah.
Yeah, you've done a great promo for them.
Lloyd Cornwall.
They should employ you.
So cut that piece out there.
That's coming up. Let's get to Mabs. Five things you need to know this morning. Mabale Moloi. What do you got for us?
Okay. Let's begin with politics. President, what else? What other reaction?
Wow, how exciting!
What other reaction applies to any news related to politics from anywhere in the world, not just in South Africa? I mean, Donald Trump was opening his mouth again over the weekend, saying that he really wants to run against Oprah because she would have a horrible time losing to him. Okay, Trump. So, Cyril Ramaphosa and his deputy president David Mabuza yesterday extended an olive branch to EFF leader Julius Malema and others.
Oh, they're trying so hard. This is, you know what this is? This is either the death of the EFF or Julius going back to the ANC. There's a very stark choice ahead for these guys now.
Yes, so they want him to return home to the ANC.
Sure.
Ramaphosa saying, we would love to have Julius Malema back in the ANC. He is still ANC deep down in his heart. He also urged others to rejoin the party, saying that the ANC is the home of many political parties that splintered out of it, and we would like to build unity among all our people.
No, you don't. You want an extra 8% at the election in 2019. That's all you want. We can see through you.
Yes. Strategy. They're sticking to the...
I agree with Cyril, actually. Julius is... he's like a lost child. He's like the prodigal son. He's just waiting for a chance to go back and be with daddy. I mean, that was his whole problem with Zuma. Zuma was the daddy who chased him out of the house. And he's now hurt and he wants to go back to the house because there's a new daddy. And watch, it'll happen. So everybody who's voting EFF at the moment, believe the EFF. You're in for a surprise. He's about to jump ship and leave you in the desert on your own.
But also, if you have him back in the fold, then I suppose he poses less of a problem as right. an opposition.
You can control him. You can give him some. And we know Julius can't even pay his own taxes. So if you give him some kind of cushy government role, he'll shut up.
Yeah, I don't think that's an income problem, though. I think that's more a Julius problem.
No, no, it's a self-discipline problem. He's got the discipline of an infant. He cannot pay his taxes. Anyone who's in government and tells you, oh, this is what should happen, and this is who should run this, and this is how we should do that, but they don't even pay their taxes, isn't worth listening to. I'm going to keep repeating that because it really matters. You and I don't pay our taxes, we go to jail. Somehow he seems to have a different set of rules applied to him, and in his mind, taxes are optional. Otherwise, he would have paid them. He would have found a way to pay them. For us, tax is not optional.
Did any of you receive this SMS from the DA that everybody got flustered over?
I don't get any. I unsubscribe and I.
You are not. They spam you.
I don't.
Well, these guys
okay. They spam you.
Well, then praise Jesus. I'm not on their database.
No, they actually don't need any of our permission to either phone us or send us their SMSs. So
they're
just
still sending those Musi Mani phone calls.
Are you still getting those?
No, I don't get them. Thank you.
Well, it was for the election process, so I suppose they stopped doing them.
These guys are doing so badly with us, and they continue to do so.
Anyway, this SMS apparently reads as follows. ANC and EFF working together to take all private land and homes. You can only stop this if you're registered correctly to vote. Check now. So then a whole lot of people said, you know, the DA are being alarmist. And then they did a whole confusing backtrack thing where they said, no, that SMS wasn't sent officially by the DA, and then they came back and they said, oh no, yes, actually we did send that SMS.
What, like alarmist stuff like that? That's not very responsible of them.
Well, that's what they got accused of, and then they did a back and forth thing where they, I suppose, decided, oh, how should we deal with the situation? We didn't expect this SMS to backfire this
much. The truth is a good place to start.
Yeah, go with the truth. No other party's doing it, so you can own truth. How about that? Own it. You can actually own something that people want. How incredible an opportunity is that?
And then lawyers to the rescue.
Uh-oh.
Or maybe you think not. But in any case, victims of the listeriosis outbreak, the world's worst outbreak according to the World Health Organization,
right,
will be invited to sue the owner of the factory named as the source. Attorney Richard Spoor confirming that his firm are going to be filing a class action suit against Tiger Brands, whose facility was last weekend officially revealed to be the origin of the listeria epidemic that has claimed 180 lives. He predicted, if the litigation is successful, damages of tens of millions of dollars could be awarded to the victims and the families of those killed.
I did a terrible thing last night.
What did you do?
I watched Carte Blanche. Well, I watched the first story, and they were talking about listeriosis. But I thought, you know what, I can exclude myself from the embarrassment of watching Carte Blanche by saying it's a bit of research so I can be informed about this subject for the show.
Okay.
Anyway, I wanted to kill myself after the first 20 minutes, but it did tell me that you can, if you're one of those people who died, or you lost a family, if you're one of the people who died, it's over. You lost a family member, you lost a child, blah, blah, blah. You can put together a class action lawsuit against, for example, Tiger Brands.
Yes.
But if they admit that it's their fault, their insurance company won't pay.
Okay.
So what you really need to do is just sit quietly, let the CEO do what he did last week where he said, this is not our fault.
Yes.
He's got a plan. The CEO can't say it's our fault because then the insurance company's going to go, right, you're on your own.
Yeah, sorry.
So this is the subtle dance that everyone does. The insurance company go, Tiger Brands, it's your fault. Tiger Brands go, yes, but we're insured. People who've died go, you guys sort that out. We just want the money.
And then lawyers sit and plot.
Lawyers
and think, okay.
From the insurance company go, well, we don't have this much, we have that much. Lawyers from Tiger Brands go, you got to give us a little more. The people who are going to receive just sit back and wait. Put together their class action lawsuit, get themselves a decent lawyer, and they just wait to make sure that they get their their just desserts, at least in terms of some kind of compensation. It's not going to return the person who's died. There's nothing you can do about that. But you just wait. I mean, listen, if you're eating polony, you take what you can get. It's a horrible thing to eat. And if you've been eating polony and it's been rotten and it's been bad for you, take what you can get from these guys. Just let the insurance... Because we were all... I was upset that the CEO of Tiger Brands didn't take responsibility, right? I mean, it annoyed me. Like, this guy's admitting no fault, but it happened at his factories.
Two of which have subsequently been closed.
Right. So I was watching this on TV going, you should take responsibility. That's what I would do.
Mm-hmm.
But that's because I'm an idiot. You don't take responsibility. Your insurance company say,
find this loophole.
Here's the insurance money, and then that insurance money goes to the victims. That's fine. So just chill. Everybody chill. Let this thing play out. It's like a little dance, and then everybody gets their money at the end.
No, I mean, I think the only people who would take responsibility are Japanese CEOs.
Yes, who kill themselves.
Anybody else in the world would probably listen to advice and instruction from their legal team, from their advisors, saying, listen, this is a bad move. Don't take responsibility. But like, most of us would probably listen to that because...
Yeah, we wouldn't know what
that's what you hire those people to do.
But do you prefer the... Deep down, do you prefer the Japanese CEOs?
No, I mean, that's an extreme opposite end of the spectrum.
Yeah, but deep down, don't you?
I don't know, eh?
Come on.
No.
I think everyone prefers them, except for the cleaning staff who find them in the offices. Just got a new carpet, now this.
And then the cleaning people kill themselves because
it's like, wow,
such a mess, I can't clean that, I'm going to kill myself.
Carpet budget over for the first quarter, I must kill myself now.
Okay, so since January 2017, 948 people in this country have contracted listeriosis. So I suppose when it comes to class action suit, a number like that helps. 948.
It's going to be so tough because didn't some Australians find listeriosis in a melon the other day?
Yep. Yes.
So, I mean, obviously this plant's not ideal, but it can't be the source of all listeriosis.
Listen, I got bad news. People die from food poisoning, even though we think we've got these foolproof solutions to everything. You eat stuff, sometimes you can eat stuff that's going to kill you. Think about how little we actually know about our food. Most people just buy something in a packet and empty it down their throats. They don't know.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about whether you're poor or rich or educated or not educated or informed and not informed. I'm talking about everybody. And if you're a kid, your parent gives you a polony sandwich. You don't go, whoa, have you, mom, dad, have you scrubbed this and checked it under the microscope, the family microscope for listeriosis? No. You trust your parents. They're not going to put poison in your mouth. And parents trust the shop. They're like, well, the shop doesn't poison me. And when I was a kid, my parents made me bologna sandwiches. It'll be fine.
Trust the supplier.
Yeah.
Come
on.
And so on and so forth.
Right. So there's a huge amount of trust in the system. And then when it breaks, we all go, like Sia when you walk into a room.
Oh, okay. Full circle analogy. But I was thinking about all of the workers.
Yeah.
Who now don't have a job over the weekend.
Well, they'll still get paid because it's the factory's problem to sort this out now. So it's not as if those workers are going to go without money. Oh. They're kind of sitting at home and get their salary.
Hmm.
It's great for them. Don't worry about them, Sia.
Oh,
it's the people who've died.
Crazy ripple effect.
It's the people who've died and their families who are affected most obviously by this. Tiger Brands will carry on. They're insured.
Hmm.
So this is what happens. I mean, how much do you know about the stuff you put into your mouth? We talk about this often. We talk about the processed meats. We talk about the vegetables. We talk about the fruit. We talk about the sugar, all that stuff. You know, it's a thing that everybody thinks about. You wonder about these things from time to time. But how much do you really know about what you put into your stomach?
We know very little. Mm. I mean, it wasn't until a few years ago that you maybe understood what organic means.
Right.
People still don't understand what gluten is, but you know,
you have no idea what's under that that batter in your KFC. You have no idea.
Ooh.
Lizard. You Ooh. Wouldn't know.
But if you think I'm dramatic, for example, I was chatting to my mother, who he was about to have a
small apoplexy.
It's
just a small one.
It's just right in your throat already.
Yes, you know when you feel it creeping up and you think, I've got to mentally push it back down.
Hold on, girl. Hold on. Now I'm feeling kind of okay. There you go.
All right, we got to move on.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Listen, in some sad news out of the weekend at the Cape Town Cycle Tour, two people lost their lives from the race this weekend.
They've got to ban cycling.
Okay, Gareth.
Stop it. This is outrageous. People are losing their lives. You're going to sue Tiger Brands over a class action lawsuit with Poloni. We need to sue the cycle race and shut this shit down. It's bad for people's health.
According to the Western Cape Police spokesperson Constable, there is an inquest docket that has been opened for the first person who passed on, a 69-year-old man, and then there was also a 41-year-old man who passed away. At this stage, you know, they confirmed the death of the two cyclists in separate incidents, but they say that circumstances surrounding the deaths are still under investigation.
When are you people going to listen to me and stop with these bicycles? Huh? When are you going to stop? How many people need to die before you'll take my advice?
This doesn't happen every year, though.
Oh, yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
Every year there's some horror story after the stupid cycle.
About somebody dying.
Am I wrong?
People have died before.
Thank you.
But has it happened often? Is my question.
No.
More times than if you don't get on a bicycle.
Why take the chance? Just don't get on the bike.
Do you go swim with the sharks? No.
Like, Babs, I think more people have died from Poloni than the Cape Town Cycle Tour.
Yes, that's true. But we don't eat Poloni either.
That's a good point. Right. Look, it's just if you don't want to die, maybe, Garrett does have a slight point.
Don't do the cycling thing. It's stupid and you look dumb. Mm.
That's more important.
Okay.
Well, you look dumb on those bikes with those stupid outfits.
There'll be a lot of sore bums this morning, I imagine.
Oh, my God.
A friend of mine put something on Instagram, my Insta story. He was at a place yesterday, and there was a cyclist at the place having a drink. But he still had his helmet on. Just to make sure that, like, you'd realize he did the cycle tour.
Badge of honor.
Who would want that? I get put off. I will turn around and leave a place if it's got cyclists in it. I'll go to the next place.
In his sweaty lycra, but the helmet was still on.
Douchebag. Anyway, don't worry. He'll die in the cycle challenge next year.
Oh, okay.
So don't panic.
All right. So those are the things that you need to know.
Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Mubs. Ben just showed me the picture of the idiot cyclist, and he's wearing the most dumb outfit. Then there's a beautiful girl with big titties in the next Insta story. That was worth the distraction. All right, let's get to Ben and the sport. We got Anthea popping by. A lot to get to this morning. Ben, what do you have for us today, pray tell, after your trip? Did you see Gary?
Yes, of course I saw Gary.
Did Gary recognize you?
Guys, when Gary goes to events like this, there is thousands of people who want his time. Yeah. And I've had his time before. We chat on Twitter. He retweeted me 3 times over the weekend.
Ooh.
Wow. You've been retweeted. That means you appeared in Donald Trump's timeline.
3 times, yeah.
Donald Trump follows Gary.
Yeah.
Ben is the most important, powerful person on the show. I've got to point that out.
Yep.
You have to keep pointing out. It's weird. So, you can get into all that. This week's vlog's going to come out in the next day or two, and you'll see my whole time there, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. Probably the best drone footage I've got in my life so far.
Very nice.
Beyond good. But the Proteas are actually doing really well against the Aussies. Like I said, that whole Warner's wife, Sonny Bill, spat with the Quinton the Cox thing has definitely galvanized his team. So Kagiso Rabada, he bowled like a demon and is still bowling like one. But looks like he's going to miss the rest of the series because he's been a bad boy. The ICC basically stated that you can't intimidate a batsman, you can't make contact, blah, blah, blah. And unfortunately for Rabada, he's got these demerit points that are stacked up previously. So he was seen to shoulder charge Dick Weller from Sri Lanka. He then told Ben Stokes to fuck off when he dismissed him on the first Test English tour. He then told some other guy to fuck off. Basically, he gets into it, does Rabada, which is really good.
I like that about him.
I like that about him too, because it shows first and foremost he's really into what he's doing, which is great.
And by the way, competitive sport is not a crash for weak people. If you're going to be at the top of your game, you might just have a little bit of male aggression, and it might not be a bad thing.
So true, Gareth. So true.
Jesus.
Sorry, it was Shikhar Dhawan was the second person he told to fuck off. Yeah. So, but this is the thing. When
good
you're
for Rabada,
when
I
you're
like
a
this.
Fast bowler, you are giving your heart and soul, and you are basically breaking your body each and everywhere. And he is a talented fast bowler, and fast bowlers have to be aggressive. If I run into the batsman and I sort of lob the ball to him, the batsman's going to feel like he can spend all day at the crease. Mm-hmm. When Rabada runs in there with eyes of fire and a mouth on him, you don't want to bat all day.
Yeah, and I'm sick of these weak cricket players who go on TV and then explain why they lost. Give me some winners.
Yeah, exactly. So, unfortunately, these demerit points are now stacking up. When you got Steve Smith out on Thursday, Friday, sorry, I mean, it was a huge turning point in the match. And rightly so, he went to go celebrate with his mates. Steve is all about me, Smith. Plum in front, LBW. Then wants to hang around. He wants to review the decision, make it all about him. He got in Ribada's way. I know what you're saying. Yeah, Ben, you're a Ribada fan, so you're going to say that. Yeah, sure, whatever. But it is so ridiculous that the Test cricket game has got to this. Because it's about these rivalries. It's about people being scared shitless in the middle. It's about fans getting into it. And this Test match, people have got into it. People are excited about cricket. But now the ICC are going to take probably the most exciting thing in Test cricket right now, which is Ribada, and they're going to make him sit out for two matches because he's just too aggressive.
Yeah, maybe it's got to do with that stupid idea that cricket is the gentleman's sport.
Ah, bollocks. It is, but I mean, it's also a hard bastard sport, and there's not enough of those hanging around. But it's been interesting, very interesting Test match. So currently, the Proteas are on top. Aussies are 180 for 5 right now, which gives them, well, a lead of 41. But essentially, they're 41 for 5 when you think that the Proteas, they're batted so well. AB de Villiers' 100 yesterday was just sensational. So they're on 380. They've got 382. So Aussies, 41 for 5, essentially, on going to day 4. But the Test match has been interesting in other ways. Like, the umpires told the band to stop playing because they make too much noise. It's just been a comical... And then David Warner... Basically, I've come to realize it's just like Eminem. It's like, don't talk about my wife, but he makes it all by his wife the whole time. Yesterday, he wore all these bandages on his hand, and then he wrote Candace on his hand. It's like, dude, how about you leave your wife out of it? It's a sorry state that she got embroiled in this whole case anyway, but you writing Candace all over your hand is not helping anything. It just shows that, just like Eminem, don't talk about my daughter, and he raps about his daughter. These peasants. Anyway, Ribada got David Warner out cheaply yesterday and then kind of shouted in his face a bit, so he might give him more demerit points. But essentially, his fate will be decided today when the match referee limply probably says something like the lines he's bringing the game to disrepute, you can't play for weeks. And everyone's going to go, oh, justice for Ribada. But we'll get to that, though. Tiger Woods almost won a golf tournament. He came second.
Yes.
He.
That's quite a biggie.
Well, it's the big winner yesterday was Valspar. I still don't know what Valspar is, but it was the Valspar Open. And it was a great tournament for Tiger to come back to form, because obviously the Masters is coming up. Valspar, what do they actually do? You Google Valspar, nothing really comes up. So they've got this tournament, but Paul Casey, he had a great final round of 66. Sergio Garcia, also red hot yesterday, 65. Tiger, unfortunately, could only manage a 1 under par 70, but second place for him. It's going to give him the belief again, because... it's Sunday, and Tiger's in red, and he's on top of the leaderboard. That's what every golf fan wants to see. And again, just like the Proteas have made this cricket interesting again, golfers are going nuts about the sport again, and it's so great to see, because it's hugely exciting when he's in there. Massively, massively exciting. Ireland, well, they've won the Six Nations. Just like that, everyone thought England were going to do it again. But England were dicking around. They lost to Scotland, then they lost to France. How absolutely embarrassing for England. They lost to France over the weekend. Ireland, though, well, they were just too good for Scotland. Scotland, plucky as ever. They did very well to get to where they got in that match. But no, Ireland eventually won it. So, with one game to go, Ireland 4 out of 4. They've won it. There are 19 points. No one can catch them. Even the Welsh, who hammered Italy over the weekend. Super Rugby from the weekend. Any big surprises? Yes, the Jaguars. They beat the Waratahs 38-28, but they were playing in Jaguars country. The Lions, oh no. SA's best team lost to New Zealand's worst team, 35-38 at home. They just threw it away at the death there. The Sharks hammered the Sunwolves, 50-22, which I know sounds nice in numbers, but doesn't mean that much. The Bulls were, well, they were impressive at times versus the Reds, but as John Mitchell says, they just lack a bit of patience. They lost to the Reds 20-14. The Hurricanes, huge win over the Crusaders, 29-19. That was the big game for the weekend. The Rebels played the Brumbies, but no one really cared. And the Highlanders, they beat the Stormers, predictably, 33-15. We won't get into what's happening there in the log because it's still early days. The Winter Olympics, the Pyeongchang Paralympics is this week. Although there is a bit of controversy because in South Korea, if you are disabled, they don't really like you that much.
What?
If you're a disabled woman, you're almost seen as not human.
What?
Truly, in a volunteer handbook of all the people who are volunteering at Pyeongchang for the Paralympics, they are reminded that disabled women are humans too and must be treated as such. God. Just in case you forget, in Pyeongchang.
Wow.
It's the thing what Olympics does. Everyone thinks, well, it's a sport event, so you know, who really cares? But it does kind of shine a light on society around the world. So, you know, we got to know a lot more about North Korea because of the whole Pyeongchang Winter Olympics. Now we're getting to know how people think are so brutally horrible to disabled people in South Korea. And the Winter Olympics can hopefully change that through positive awareness. So if you do like the Paralympics, well, day three. It's already underway, actually. Day three is today. You can watch all that stuff, just like you did the normal Winter Olympics. And that's pretty much it. There was some football over the weekend. Obviously, the big one was Liverpool losing to Man United. Man United scoring all three goals in a 2-1 victory there. And, well, there was no Bank Cup over the weekend. Ubuntu Cape Town. They beat AmaZulu 3-2.
Who's that?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But they won. They got a big win last time round in their Bank Cup.
Well,
this time round.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah.
Otherwise, the other teams, no massive surprises. And Man City will play tonight. They'll play against Stoke. Now, the only time that Man City have really lost this year have been on Mondays. So maybe they just don't like Mondays. There was a song about that. But Pep Guardiola, well, he's just too good to be caught up in cliches and useless facts. And Fiji won the Vancouver Sevens. But if the Blitzbox aren't winning,
meh. Thank you,
Ben.
That's
just bored for Monday.
All right, let's get to Anthea. It's time for the money shot. Mondays.
Just working hard for their money.
Mm-hmm.
After getting how they live. Doing what they got to do to make ends meet. It's the American dream. The almighty God.
I work hard for my money.
Right, here she is, Anthea Gardner. Good morning, Anthea. Yeah.
Good morning. Always with money on my mind.
So damn right. That's why we like you. You're very focused on this stuff, and the rest of us don't have time always to pay attention to what's going on in the vague markets.
And that's why you have me.
I know. Thank goodness.
And I come with good news today.
Tell me more.
Yes.
Cake?
much better than that, I'm sure.
Well, if you were going to say there's cake outside, that'd be good news.
I'm sorry, Ben is very primitive. Sure. He responds better to cake than to market news.
Okay, next week.
Yeah, because we're all so rich that these things really pertain to us.
Well, next week you'll get cake because it's my birthday.
Yay, see, there we go.
And there's a petrol price decrease, Ben, which does affect all of us.
That's good.
Yeah. The rand's strong. The JSE was up 2.5% last week. This is fantastic stuff.
Very nice.
Unfortunately, Tiger Brands, not so much. It was down 13.5%. And this is after recovering over 2% on Friday. Naspers is back to 3,500 rand a share. What else? The banking, there's some weird things going on there. I think they're swapping out, really, from one share to the other, mostly out of First Rand into Standard Bank. So you saw kind of that switching price movement going on. And then Exxaro. I don't know if you remember Exxaro. A couple of, about 6 weeks ago, we were all buying Exxaro. And a month ago, we got paid a 12 Rand 55 divvy on a 120 Rand share. Yay, 10% special cash dividend.
Okay.
Was down 13% on Friday.
Hmm.
And this is because they had a management breakfast, and probably Saleo should be here because he went to that breakfast. And at the breakfast, they said that they're expanding into water and renewable energy, and the share plummeted.
Like, why do people not like going into water and renewable energy?
No, I think it was completely overdone. I mean, HSBC did also put out a big report saying that they downgraded Exxaro. It actually just seems ridiculous at the moment. And sure, they're straying away from their core competency of coal, right? So they're a coal, now they're moving into renewable energy and water. But the facts are that they're only spending 100 million rand on this renewable energy and water business. And the dividend they paid out was like 4 billion. And they generally have a decent record of capital allocation. You know, they've made lots of cash recently. They paid down 1.3 billion rand of net debt.
But why are they being punished?
Exactly. It's now trading on a 5.8 times trailing price earnings ratio. So as far as I'm concerned, this is cheap at the price. The problem, of course, is that I bought 6 weeks ago, got the little dividend, and that I'm having to ride this horrible downtrend. And I did read the HSBC report this weekend, and sure, you know, they do point out a couple of concerns they have, but on the face of it, I would say, I mean, they're worried that potentially the Tronox stake that they're selling could be blocked. That whole deal could be blocked, which is what they used to pay the dividend. But I don't know. Even the ordinary dividend covers still 2.5, 3.5 times. So, yeah, I think it's cheap. So if you don't own any, I mean, it could be a bit volatile in the short term, but this could be a buying opportunity. That's what I think.
Okay.
And then the Rand closed at 11.78 against the US dollar on Friday, which is amazing considering what's going on. GDP growth came in last week at a whopping 3.1%. I mean, that's almost double. So that's for the fourth quarter of last year, of course. Almost double the print we expected. I'll tell you this, though. Granted it was Christmas and Black Friday in those numbers. We're definitely not spending our way out of a recession or whatever it is, a depression. Not depression. That would be really bad. It's mostly really internal trade and a faster increase in manufacturing that saved us. I mean, the irony, of course, is that South Africa does tend to be a spending rather than a saving culture. And it's great, potentially, that if we get into trouble, the consumer could spend us out of trouble, which kind of they've held their own last year, you know, even though things have been difficult.
South Africans like to spend.
Oh, we love spending. Yeah. No. Saving, we don't know. So long term, of course, this will have detrimental effects. That's a real problem. The Chinese are some of the best savers in the world. And they've managed to grow their economy phenomenally, so I don't know. And then the U.S., while we're on macro, added 313,000 jobs in February. Unemployment has stayed constant at 4.1%, the lowest in 17 years.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of people in the U.S. feeling very positive because there were hundreds of thousands of people coming back to look for jobs. You know what happens, right? People get disheartened and they stop looking for jobs and then they get taken out of this number, so it looks like unemployment is kind of constant, but actually lots of people came back in February, hundreds of thousands literally, but they created enough jobs to keep unemployment at 4.1%, which is fantastic. And then the number we've been worrying about for a while now is this wage growth. So January was a crazy month. Like, it was exceptionally huge wage growth. And then February was okay, 0.1%. But at least what it shows is that the trend is positive and that you're not seeing a decline in wages. You know, it's one thing creating jobs. It's another thing creating well-paying jobs. You know, there's no point in creating jobs where people are getting paid less and inflation keeps ticking up. So.
All right.
And then you might have seen last night at 5 o'clock, the Reserve Bank came out and said that they put VBS, which is a mutual bank, and I'll explain that in a minute, they placed it under curatorship. So first of all, mutual bank means that it is owned by depositors. So if you go to VBS and you deposit money, you actually become a shareholder. It doesn't mean that you run the bank. It doesn't mean that you get to do whatever you or say what you want. You get to vote, obviously, at the AGM. But it is run by the board of directors. But at least you're an owner. The second thing you need to know about VBS is that they were the guys that gave Jacob Zuma the loan for Nkandla.
Mm.
Yeah. So basically, I mean, of course, I saw this morning that BLF are now putting a political spin on it and saying, you know, it's a BEE-owned bank and the Reserve Bank's now acting like white monopoly capital and trying to stop black business from happening. Lesetia says that they put it under curatorship because it has liquidity problems. And here's two issues.
Right, if it's got clients like Jacob Zuma, yes, that's obviously a problem because he never pays for anything.
Well, there you go, right? So there's an outstanding 7.8 million rand loan. Are they going to have to write it down or is he going to repay it? Don't answer. the second problem is that municipalities last year were told that they are not allowed to put deposits into a mutual bank, which is kind of normal, actually. But they went ahead and did it anyway, so there's an issue. And remember I said that once you deposit money with this bank, with a mutual bank, you become a shareholder, and municipalities are not allowed to do that, and there's too much risk. In fact, a lot of companies, and I work with quite a few corporates, are not allowed to use certain banks. I have an international corporate as a client who can only use three of the top five banks.
Really?
Yeah, because of credit ratings and risk and all that.
Okay, so, fair enough.
And remember, South Africa is very close to junk, and a lot of corporates, big international, especially corporates, don't like this. And then the other problem with this VBS Mutual Bank is that, and this I think is where the Reserve Bank's coming from, is that they have a liquidity mismatch, and so they are taking short-term deposits and making long-term loans. So, you know, or that's what banks do, right? They don't actually have their own money. They take your money and they lend it to somebody else,
right,
and then hopefully that somebody else pays them back. But if they don't, how do they give you back your deposit? And then that's a liquidity issue. And so the Reserve Bank's mandate is to protect people like us who put our deposits in the bank. The Reserve Bank has said that they're guaranteeing up to a 50,000 rand deposit at VBS, so you won't lose your money if you've got 50,000 or less. It's those above that they're worried about, and which exactly is why they don't want the municipalities to be depositing money into these mutual banks.
All right.
So that's it. And then I heard you guys talking on Friday.
No, you didn't. You didn't.
Oh.
I read out your message because I thought everyone should know how rude you are to me some of the time.
Sorry. So
Anthea sent me a message saying, you two are talking a whole lot of shit about Ethiopia. Tell me about the Ethiopian economy. So you spent a lot of time researching Ethiopia. Tell me a little bit about them. Why is that economy growing at 10% a year?
Wow, there's a whole spreadsheet.
I brought you a table.
Jesus. All right, so I'm looking.
GDP growth in Africa.
Okay, GDP growth in Africa. Okay, Ivory Coast is at 8%. That's the highest.
Mm-hmm. Which table are you looking at?
No, the first one.
On the left. Okay, on the right, I mean. Yes, so that's 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And in your left hand, you've got the average for 8 years between 2008 and 2016.
Okay, so for Ethiopia, that's 6.5 over the last
8 years.
Yeah, over 8 years. There it is.
Oh, no, that's 2016.
Okay.
And
sorry, there we go. 6.5 then for 2016.
But when I was there 2 years ago, they were growing at 10.3%. I mean, it was phenomenal. So can I just say one thing? Ethiopia, Cote d'Ivoire, all those countries are coming off a low base. So you've got to take that into consideration.
Right, so in other words, there are not a lot of people participating in the economy. There's not a huge amount of money in the economy. It's kind of flat to start with.
And it's easy to stimulate kind of from a low
base. 10% for them is a couple of million dollars.
Right. If you're starting from a low base. Right. That's exactly right. But then the other thing that Ethiopia does is it really is, well, in the last many years, is that it really has done incredibly well to attract foreign direct investment. Unfortunately or fortunately, whichever way you see this, it's from China. So China has spent an incredible amount of money, or invested, not spent, an incredible amount of money in Ethiopia. I mean, they were the guys who funded the light rail, the Addis Ababa light rail, which is the largest in sub-Saharan Africa, the fastest. I saw it. I was there when they were opening. It was absolutely fantastic. And then, as you said on Friday, they don't have a stock exchange, but they do have a commodities exchange, and they are commodities-based countries. So not so much hard commodities, so they're more like soft commodities, and hard commodities are your oil, gold, aluminium, iron ore, and then your soft commodities, livestock, maize, agriculture, that sort of thing, orange juice and pork bellies. Do you remember Trading Places, the Eddie Murphy movie?
Yep.
Oh, you've just given away your age.
No. Oh, I'm not embarrassed. Go on.
And they're very much a private equity environment. So your guest on Friday was speaking about how difficult it is for companies to raise money, because that's what the JSE or the stock exchange is used for. It's used for companies who want to expand and raise capital to expand. That's why you go to the stock market. And if you don't have a stock market, where do you get that money? He was saying, go to the cryptocurrency exchange, which, by the way, I do actually like the idea of. Unfortunately, in Ethiopia, they don't have a stock exchange, but they do have a lot of private equity. So companies investing in unlisted companies, basically.
All right.
So, yeah, what else do you want to know? I mean, there's a great discussion at the moment about China taking over Africa and how they're invested and why they're invested in it and how they're going to colonize us, which is probably true, you know, like in the 1600s, we had the British, the Dutch, the Portuguese, and
sure.
1800s, we had the French colonizing Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, Ethiopia is such a good example because it was the French who built that big railway from Addis to Djibouti. And now, basically, they're being replaced by the Chinese who are building the light rail. The irony of it. And there's a great discussion at the moment about whether or not investing in a country, or like the Chinese are doing, in a continent, is better or worse than, like, the U.S. giving aid to a continent or a country. And quite frankly, I know we think that the Chinese are going to come in, steal our jobs, put us in shackles, and make us work.
They're taking our jobs.
They're taking our jobs, exactly. But actually, isn't it better that they give us cheap loans to build the country?
Sure.
And and you know, they do
also
bring...
Look what it's done in Mozambique.
Is that a good
example? They built a massive, massive bridge that I saw in Maputo when I was there that no one else would be willing to build. Of course, they're getting concessions and all kinds of resources, and you know, but for the people in Maputo, it's going to save them 4 hours of travel every day.
It's exactly the same in other African countries. That's exactly what's going on.
All right.
And yeah, I think that's pretty much it for today. Anything else you need to know?
That's good.
You're only a text away, as we evidently saw on Friday.
Well, yeah,
so
but, yes, but we only get to see Anthea once a week, so we get to answer all the questions. All right, thanks, Anthea.
Didn't realize it'd be taken back
bad. No, so grateful.
I'll be careful not to talk out of my ass about the Ethiopian economy again. I've got someone listening who's paying attention.
All right. Call us out at any moment.
That's what I love. And it's not just Anthea, it's anybody who listens to us. They're so quick to point out anything we get wrong, which I like. I mean, then we're responsible to not get it wrong. You don't want fake news.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Otherwise you get told with spreadsheets.
All right. Sia, we got to rush this, I'm afraid, but here's Said by Sia because it's already after 7 o'clock. What do you got?
Oh, this is a proper thought that I just want to drop in for Monday morning with everyone, because I actually saw this over the weekend and it sort of made an impact with me, so I hope it does with you as well. It's actually a social media post from back in 2016 that's now come and it's doing the rounds again. It sounds like something straight out of a fairy tale, but it's an inspiring story to me how really something that we may do that we consider small might be massive to someone else. So that's a bit of a task for us this week. But back in 2016, there were ER24 paramedics who were working with Dirk Gunther, who was 84 at the time. And Dirk actually hadn't seen the beach in 35 years. Cue the orchestra coming in with the corniness, but it's so true. And so while Dirk was being transferred by the paramedics from a hospital in Newcastle to another in Durban, he mentioned that he wished he could see the ocean because it had been so many years since he last saw it. So one of the paramedics who was working there, a Marjorie from Newcastle, said that she would do her best to grant his wish, and she was so committed to this that sadly on that day he was being transferred, the weather wasn't the best. But however, she didn't leave it there. She actually spoke to one of the ER24 Durban branch managers, who gave her the go-ahead to grant Dirk's wish. So during the transfer back to Newcastle, she, along with a Lucas Nzimande and Sean Naidu from ER24 Durban, stopped at the beach just for Dirk, allowing him to experience the beach after years of going without it. So for me, the picture that I saw was of Dirk in a stretcher with the paramedics, and he was on this shore, actually, on the sand, you know, just simply because he wanted to see the beach. So look at how this tiny, tiny little thing, they were on their way back taking him to hospital, and they actually said, listen, let's do something meaningful for this guy. It's a tiny wish that he has, and it actually became a massive thing for him. So, you know, it's these little things that are absolutely corny. But
so hang on, this is ER24 did this?
ER24 just did this for this guy, because it was a simple wish at 84 to see the beach. You know, so who knows what you can do this week that will mean something to someone.
That's
so
great. That's cool.
Let's hope for that this week. And that is Sit by Sia for this morning.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I like that. I mean, what the hell? It didn't take them a lot of time and effort, and they thought, well, this guy hasn't ever seen the sea. It's one of the things he wants to do. Nice of them.
Yeah. Doesn't take much out of them. It puts a smile on his face. Everybody wins here.
Plus, he's in his 80s. I mean, what are the chances he's going to get to do that again?
Yeah. Sad but true.
All right, very nice. There we go. Thank you, Sia. Thank you, Anthea. Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Mubs. Coming up, we'll check in on some more news. We've got lots of interesting stuff happening. And we will be chatting in a moment or two to Lloyd Cornwall.
This is CliffCentral.com.